Let me tell you about the power in a word, because the word is a problem, just not the way you mean it. The word is a problem because it does not travel alone or arrive with courtesy, because it doesn't always give forewarning before it brings in all its baggage, before it rips you back through memory's door, puts you in that flesh again, in that fear again, in that shame again, in that moment when you became a vessel and nothing more. Back to that moment when some small, desperate piece of your mind, insistent, whispered, "But I am more. I am more than this." To the next moment when you shushed it, gagged it, strangled it, killed it off in order to fucking survive. When they made you a sin-eater to carry all the fucking guilt and the shame and the pain of the wrong for the rest of your days, because you know he never will. And no matter what pretty lies you tell others or tell yourself, that small dead part of you which insisted it was more will haunt you with guilt and shame in the quiet of those infinite sleepless nights for always. Because once you know that word, once you really get acquainted with it, once it's pushing on into your mind every time he looks at you across the baked chicken and mashed potatoes in the way he ought only to look at your mother as he sits right beside her and she pretends not to see, and you know that it could be coming, you know that there is not enough vigilance in a whole fucking army to keep him from being the first if he wants to, because he is patient and will wait for his optimal moment, like a hyena waiting hunched over and drooling in tall grass. So you make the decision at 14 years old to keep that one small bit, to lay claim to that one experience, to have that one piece be yours, your choice, to steal away his chance by giving what's left of your innocence to the boy who looked like Kurt Cobain, but cleaner, to the boy you didn't love, but who had a dimple in his chin and the name of a famous funk singer, and the boy treated you with kindness, with gentleness, an awkward fumbling sweetness, but all you could think the whole time was, "Ha! He doesn't get to take this part from me, too." Not realizing that is exactly what happened. Once that word is pushing into you on heavy, humid waves of burrito-scented breath and the smell of cool water against a cheap bed with a broken spring while you lie still as you can, addled by booze and maybe a little something extra in that solo cup. Lie as still as you can and wait for it all to just be over, for them all to have their turn, because when you tried to run naked out the door, three of them pulled you back in, and the sound of the door closing was the sound of you, 15, giving up, pretending to like it so they wouldn't hurt anymore. And later, your best friend and her friend beating you in a convenience store parking lot for not protecting her from the same fate while it was happening to you. Once that fucking word is pushing into you on a dark gravel road while your nose bleeds into the dirty bed of the pickup truck, tailgate biting into your hips, and you're saying no, 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 with every thrust until the word no loses all meaning and becomes just a strange, heavy shape on your tongue, rolling out like a boulder, but landing like air against stone. And the one who was your friend acts all magnanimous when he finally hears the litany of negation and pulls out of your ass and without pausing pushes into your other hole with a, "There, is that better?" and keeps on plowing away as if the continuing no was just an expected noise that comes with each thrust, and you're thinking the strangest things. Like, how will you ever get the blood out of that skirt before your grandmother sees you? How will you ever sneak your swollen face and your shame past her wakefulness? And why is it so dark out here? And suddenly there's nothing. Blissful oblivion. Until you're walking, dazed, bloody and alone down a street in the 3 a.m. dead of a small southern town, and you stumble the miles to your car in the dark, hoping against hope that no one sees you, that no one knows. Once that word is pushing into you, in your home, in your bed, because he finally got fed up with all the no. 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 and threatened not to pay the power bill while your baby girl slept just down the hall, so you rolled over and you stared at the incidental faces made by the cheap fake grain of the cheap fake paneling. You surrendered with an insult because it was all the dignity you could manage to preserve to say, "Fine. Fine, whatever, but do it from behind because I'm watching TV." And you never call it what it was, because you can't. You never call it what it was, because there's too much hanging on it, because the escape and the education and the scholarship, the full ride that disappeared 5 weeks later in a stream of piss and two pink lines, became a child. A child whom you love more than life, and you know, deep in your dark places, you know without a moment's doubt you have to hide that word, hide that truth, until you love that small, helpless thing with the fierceness of a bear protecting its cub. So you bury that word, you bury it deep under years of denial and decades of less than, and you love that boy. You love him. You love that boy who looks so very much like his father. Because once you know that word, once you really get acquainted with it, then you know that the word is legion, like that demon, containing multitudes, containing memories, memories you would rather not possess, containing you, containing others like you, behind walls of should have, could have. Why didn't you? Changing everything, irrevocable, making of you nothing more than a vessel, no matter how much that small voice insists it isn't so. Once you know that word, you know the just world is a shit-stained fantasy, and that people who deserve good things sometimes get bad, while those who deserve badness take whatever the fuck they want by whatever means they must. But as long as we call it by some other name, they don't have to feel bad. They don't have to carry that shame, that guilt, that knowing. So, yes, that word is a problem, but not in the way you think. And I will be damned if I will sugarcoat it with some euphemism to make it easier on the ones who want to say that it wasn't what it was, if I was drinking, if I gave in to keep the heat on for my kid, if I went to that party or wore that dress or let him kiss me or stayed with him after or had his child. I won't call it something other than what it was to make it more palatable to those who want to claim they did not know better, because they once believed they were entitled to my body, my agency, and my silence. Because why should the power of the word only ever be felt by those who, like me, really got acquainted with it? Why is the word only a problem when it makes those who don't know that shame, who may not have back then have known, but left us with the after anyway, who don't want to see that the things they may have done back before they knew fit the definition, why is it only a problem when they feel uncomfortable in their complacence or complicity? I will call it by its goddamn name until it's a problem that everyone understands, that no one denies, until the ones who do it are the ones who carry the shame instead of those of us who carry it now, until no one can say they don't know better. Until the power of the definition becomes a deterrent. Until nobody else has to be, like I was, alone in my acquaintance with the power of the fucking word.